Okay, so ladies, I'm not 1,000,000% sure what we got up to. So I just want to continue. We'll start from the Mishnah on Chof Ches Omer Aleph, the second part of the Mishnah. I remember that we did the first part of the Mishnah, which is the Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about when when you're inside the sukkah, but the table is outside of the room. So that we did already. Now the question that the end of the Mishnah deals with is as follows. It's like three lines before the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah writes that Noshim Avodim Uktanim Rapturim in HaSukkah, that women Avodim and Ktanim are exempt from Sukkah. Katan She'enot Tzachu is Chayiv B'Sukkah. But if you have a Katan who no longer needs his mother, and the Gemara will define precisely what that means, a Katan who doesn't need his mother, such a Katan is Chayiv in Sukkah. That probably is a razzle-dazzle way of saying that there's a mitzvah of chinuch, that you have a katan, and the child is old enough that the child no longer needs mommy. So in that case, the child is chayiv in sukkah. That's probably the mitzvah of chinuch. Maisa, story time. Yalda Kalazar Shoshamai Hazakin, the Pichas Ma'azeva, the Sikhe Chagami Hamita Mishvul Katan. And once upon a time, Shammai's daughter-in-law gave birth to a baby, and Shammai kind of made a hole in the ceiling, and he put stuff on it so that the baby would be inside the sukkah. And apparently, Shammai is saying, and the Gemara will discuss this further, that even a tiny baby, right? It sounds like Yolda Kalasos or Shammai Hazokin, it sounds like the baby was just born, but even so, there is a chiyuv of sukkah according to Shammai for that baby, and that's what we'll talk about as we go on. Did we do the next piece of Gemara about whether the hay of Ha'ezrach includes women or excludes women? So Dr. Lang is shaking her head. Yes, Jasmine is shaking her head. Yes. By the way, are you a doctor or? Jasmine, no, not yet. Okay. Fine. So let's kind of turn to the page. Turn the page to Ahmed Bey's, and let's start from the two dots. Okay. Chavtas Ahmed Bey's and the two dots. Amar Mar. Thank you, Zoe. Amar Mar. Call the rabbis as haktanim. If you remember, in the Mishnah, excuse me, in the Gemara, we quoted a Raisa that kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukos. So the word ha'ezrach tells me not women, and the word kol includes ketanim. So we have a braisa that uses the word kol to include ketanim. So the Gemara asks, v'hatznan, but didn't we learn that ketanim are exempt from sukkah? So the Gemara answers, lo kasha. Kan b'katan shehigiyah l'chinuch, kan b'katan shelo higiyah l'chinuch. The Gemara says that there's a difference between a katan who arrives at the age of chinuch and a katan who has not arrived at the age of chinuch, meaning that when we said kol l'rabbo says hakatan, when we have that word kol that tells me that katan are also chayiv in sukkah, that's talking about a katan who's higiyah l'chinuch. But when we say that a katan is potter from sukkah, that's a katan shelo higiyah lachinuch. So the Gemara asks, one second, katan shigiyah lachinuch midrabanan hu. The Gemara asks, but one second, the katan is higiyah lachinuch. So why do you have the word kol to tell me that you're chayiv? Right? It's a din derabanan. All of chinuch is a din derabanan. So how could the word kol come to include it? So the Gemara answers, midrabanan, ukras machta ba'almahu. The Gemara answers, fundamentally, the din of chinuch is a din derabanan, and the pasuk is an asmachta ba'alma, meaning the pasuk is just a hint for this halacha that a katan who is higiyah l'chinuch is chayiv in sukkah, but effectively, the din of chinuch is entirely midrabanan. The din of chinuch is entirely midrabanan, and the word kol that includes the katan is an asmachta midrabanan. Rashi writes, Katan shegia lechinuch misha eino tzarech leimo. Right, Rashi makes the point that we made when we read the Mishnah that the definition of higia lechinuch is when the katan no longer needs his mother. Hold that, right? We'll kind of analyze it a little more in a few minutes, but it is a really early age of chinuch. No? Katan she'eino tzarech le'imo means like a kid, hey, the Gemara will explain exactly what it means, but the kid doesn't need mommy anymore. That's much earlier than what we usually think of being the age of chinuch, no? Usually the age of chinuch we consider much later. Eino tzarech le'imo just means that the kid is somewhat independent and doesn't need his mother. That's much earlier. Hold that point. We'll get there. Rashi asmachta ba'alma. Right, the pasuk of kol is an asmachta. So Rashi is bothered by the kasha. So what does the word really teach me? If we're saying that kol is an asmachta ba'alma, so what does it really teach me? So zokt Rashi ukra l'rabbi Eliezer k'islei. The pasuk that says kol, according to Rabbi Eliezer, teaches me that a ger who converts in middle of sukkah is chayiv in sukkah. Remember, Rabbi Eliezer holds that sukkah is like all or nothing. It's like a 7-day thing. But the word kol tells me that if you convert in middle of yontiv, so therefore you couldn't have done sukkah at the beginning of yontiv, so then you're allowed to build a sukkah on chol hamoed and like. Or katan shegadal the osin sukkah v'chol hamoed mash inken sha'ar Yisrael, right? Meaning everybody else is different according to Rabbi Eliezer. Only a katan who becomes a gadol or a ger who converts, only they can build a sukkah v'chol hamoed. Oh, the rabbani k'dislahu shekol Yisrael ruin leishev sukkah achas lahach shesukkah sha'ula. Right, the word kol really means one of two things. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Kol teaches me if a katan becomes a gadol during sukkahs, that he's allowed to build the sukkah on Chol HaMoed, even though he doesn't have the full 7 days of Yontif. According to the Chachamim, Kol teaches me that all of the Jewish people can sit in the same sukkah, which by definition means a sukkah she'ula is going to be chayiv, right? That you're obligated even in a borrowed sukkah. So that's Rashi. Right, Rashi basically explains that the din is a din to Rabbanon, and the pasuk really means for Rabbi Eliezer, what he says, a katan becomes a gadol, a convert in both sukkahs, and according to the Chachamim, what they mean. Tosfos basically makes the same type of points. Tosfos says kan b'katan shegia l'chinuch. Tosfos at the beginning says it's kind of obvious. But even though it's obvious that there's a din between katan shegia l'chinuch and not shegia l'chinuch, sometimes the Gemara says the obvious. Right, that's basically the beginning of Tosis. Chasaka daitach demaksha. Right, the third wide line. The one who asked the question thought that we include every katan because the pasuk says kol ha'ezrach that every katan should be chayiv. Nonetheless, lahalocha only a katan who's a gil l'chinuch. Similarly, we have the idea of Maseches Nida that I would have thought that everyone is included. The pasuk tells me ultimately that only a katan gil l'chinuch is chayiv. That's basically the Tosis, not so excited. Not so exciting. Okay. Vahashta. You see it four lines before the end of the Tosis. Vahashta. Higia l'chinuch d'aminon b'chol duchta ein kulan shoven. That is an expression for this in English, no? That there are words, what is a homophone or something? That the words sound exactly the same but means different things. Right, so ein higia l'chinuch and higia l'chinuch, the words sound exactly the same, but they mean different things in different places. Ela kol echad l'fi inyano. Each thing is based on its own topic, its own thing. Dahoch amin be'ein tzarech l'imo. Our Gemara says that chinuch means a katan who does not need his mother anymore. V'gabe chagiga. Right, the halacha of going up, aliyah l'regel, bringing karbanos, that means a katan who's yacholalos. That means a kid who can walk. And the Mishnayis discuss how far you have to walk in order to be chayiv in aliyah l'regel. Ubisof lulav hagosol gabe lulav biyodei al na'aneya. The Gemara says that chinuch with a lulav is when the kid knows how to shake it. Vigabe tzitzis biyodei al his ateif. Right? By tzitzis, the mitzvah of chinuch is when the kid knows how to put on the tzitzis, two in the front, two in the back. Right? That's the chiyuv of chinuch by tzitzis. Vigabe Torah biyodei al daber. The mitzvah of chinuch by Torah means when the kid learns how to speak. Right? The Mishnah on Membeis, the Gemara Membeis says that when the kid knows how to speak, the father teaches the child Torah Tzivul on the Moshe. Right? That is the beginning of chinuch for Torah, Torah Tzivul on the Moshe, once the kid knows how to speak. So what Tosis is telling me is that chinuch by every mitzvah has a different age based on that mitzvah. So Tanya's already asking the Bam Kasha. Tanya's asking, well, one second. The mitzvah of teaching Torah to your child is a mitzvah min haTorah. Bishinantam of Hanacha, no? It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So what are you telling me that there's a din of chinuch midrabbanan on Torah tzivalanu Moshe, etc.? That is a really, really good kasha. And there is a ton of literature to answer that kasha. But on a fundamental level, we throughout Shas, we always say that chinuch is drabonon. But what do you mean chinuch is drabonon? You have to teach Torah to your children. Right? It's a mitzvah to teach Torah to your children. Yeah. So there are a few ways of giving the answer. Dr. Lang, it looked like you had a hand up. No. There's a few ways of answering the question. The basic answer, I think, is that there is a difference between chinuch ba'ofen klali and the chinuch in the pratim of mitzvahs. Meaning to say, the real mitzvah of chinuch on the level of d'oraisa, the Meshech Chochma writes in Parashas Vayera, is based on the pasuk that Hashem says, "I chose Avram Avinu." The real mitzvah of chinuch is Hashem chose Avram Avinu. Hashem chose Avram Avinu because Hashem knew that Avram Avinu would train his children for derech stako mishpat. V'shamru derech Hashem lasot stako mishpat. Now, derech Hashem lasot stako mishpat is very general, right? The real mitzvah of chinuch is follow God's path, do that which is just, right? Do that which is proper, ethics, morals, do it, right? That's mamash klali, no? The real mitzvah of the mitzvah do'iraisa of v'shinantam levonecha probably means to train a child to do derech Hashem la'asos tzaka u'mishpat, to put the kid on the right path. To send the kid to a school, the kid learns songs about Har Sinai, Shavuos time, the kid learns, whatever kids learn. That's just to train them in general klali terms how to be part of a firm community. How to be moral, how to be ethical. Right? Vishinantam uvanecho is that. Bepashtos. But there's another mitzvah of chinuch, which is for every particular mitzvah, there is a way that you train the child for that mitzvah. Katan sheyodei l'na'aneya, the kid knows how to shake, so you shake a lulav. So effectively what we're saying is that the chinuch, which is d'oraisa, is the klali chinuch. There's also chinuch, which is d'oraisa, called le'al haseder, right? Ve'gatam avin pa'v'yamu le'mar, right? That's also a d'oraisa. But the chinuch, which is drabunon, is chinuch for every specific mitzvah ba'asher hu. And when it comes to that, the age of chinuch is different based on the different mitzvah. That's what the Tosfos is saying. Now, I sent you to a Tosfos in Erchen. Did anyone have a chance to take a look at the Tosfos in Erchen? Erchen, if you pronounce it properly, is called Arochen. But if you say Arochen, you don't sound like you're a natural. So you say Erchen. Right? So Tosfos in Arochen on Beis on the Beis. Tosfos quotes a sheet of Rashi that Rashi says that Chinuch is always the age of 9 and 10. Chinuch is always the age of 9 and 10. Now, the age of 9 and 10 comes up in Maseches Yoma when we are talking about Yom HaKippurim. There's a mitzvah Chinuch L'Shaos on Yom Kippur, that when the kid is age 9 and 10, so you teach the kid a little bit about fasting, meaning eat breakfast later, right? That's chinuch l'shaos. When the kid's 11 or 12, midin d'gemara, you're supposed to start to fast the full day. But 9 and 10, you do chinuch l'shaos. Rashi is using that din of chinuch l'shaos as a paradigm. He says the age of 9 and 10 is really the age of chinuch everywhere. And Tosfos there in Arochen jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels, and Tosfos says, what are you talking about? Right? Every mitzvah has a different age of chinuch. The age of chinuch by sukkah is when you are cut in she'enot tzarech le'imo. And the age of chinuch by lulav is when you could shake it. And the age of chinuch by, right, pick your mitzvah, it's a different age. So Tosfos asks Akasha on Rashi, like, my dear beloved Rashi, what on earth are you talking about? So, is there a way of defending Rashi? And whenever someone asks the question like that, the answer is yes. Right? Does anyone have a suggestion? Does anyone have a suggestion about what Rashi means? The chinuch is this objective criteria of 9 and 10. And what does Tosfos mean? That chinuch varies from mitzvah to mitzvah. Is there any way of reconciling these positions?
Based on what we're seeing here in Sukkah, it seems that chinuch could, if you want to be Rashi, it could need an age to say this is the point at which you have to teach your child this thing, because that is when we expect that the child would be in the sukkah, for example. But Tosfot seems to say like some mitzvot are easier to teach than others. So like, it's not hard for me to teach my child to come sit in the sukkah with me and eat a meal there. So I could do that at a younger age.
Okay. So I agree with that 100%. But that's like part of the riddle. In other words, let's do the next Gemara. The Gemara asks, what's considered a katan she'enot tzarech le'imo? Right? We say that katan she'enot tzarech le'imo is obligated in sukkah. So the Gemara asks, hey, chidami katan she'enot tzarech le'imo. What does that mean? So amrit ve'rabiyanai koshen nifne ve'in imo mekan chasel. Right? That the kid can wipe himself. And that's the age of Eino Tzarech Le'imo. And then the Gemara says, Reb Shin ben Lakish Omer, Koshener Mishnasa Ve'eino Karek Ima, right? Ve'eino Karek Ima, right? That the kid wakes up and he doesn't call out Mami. So Gemara asks, Gedolam Nami Karu, right? Ima Gedolam Nami Karu. Even adults, they wake up all the night and they're like, Mami, like, what? No? I don't know, it's like you have a nightmare. I think it's like, I actually think it's real. That like, you can be an adult and you'll call out. Yeah. I can tell you whatever. My mother has Alzheimer's now. So my mother is 86. And like when she's having a hard time with whatever, she'll say, Mommy, where are you? And like, again, like, obviously she's in a different place, but even adults call Mommy. That's Gemara's kasha. Ima gadol nari karu ella koshenayer ve'ino karu ima. Right, to be a katan she'ino tzarech le'imo means that you wake up in the night and you don't continuously call mami mami. So the Gemara is a machlokes. What's considered katan she'en lo safek imo? Either a kid who can wipe himself or herself, or a kid who wakes up in the middle of the night and doesn't continually call mommy, mommy. That's a very young age. So I think what Zoe was suggesting is that by Sukkah, the age is so young, precisely because you don't have to do anything. Right? By Sukkah, the age is so young because most mitzvos, you gotta shake a lulav. Most mitzvos, you have to do something. You have to fast. You have to not eat. Most mitzvos, you have to put on the tzitzis. You have to walk to be ola rego. You're doing something. Sukkah is a state of being. You're there. So therefore, it doesn't require any action. So the chiyuv of sukkah could be at a younger age because, right? Sukkah could be at a younger age precisely because you don't have to do anything. I'm reading too much into what you were saying, Zoe, but is that what you were saying?
Yeah, I mean, to train a child to go into the sukkah is a very easy thing to do versus tying tefillin, which is much more complicated. Like, this is a mitzvah where a child could do this at a very young age. Can 100%. I ask a question while we're here?
Yeah.
Girls are also obligated in chinuch.
Girls are obligated in chinuch. You mean mothers to teach their children, or you mean...
Well, in general, I mean, we have an idea that girls need to learn some
the
things about Judaism.
Is that girl, that the mitzvah of chinuch applies to boys and to girls. Just to give some aramakomas, though, on that question, in Nozir Daf Chav Ches, there is a little bit of a sugya about that, about Av Madiris Beno, Benozir, Beno Nabito, etc. It could be that Nozir is different. There is a literature regarding that. It's worth focusing on also that this connects to the issue that Tanya brought up not so long ago, which is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Technically speaking, the mitzvah Talmud Torah for men is different than the mitzvah Talmud Torah for women.
Right.
Talmud Torah for women is more instrumental to learn it, to do it, as opposed to men who have a mitzvah just to master Torah, etc. The mitzvah of chinuch in terms of training people to do what they need to do probably applies to boys and girls equally. Right? Stuff that girls will need to do, etc.
So we would say that because, or would it be said that girls would be exempt from sukkah, even though they are somehow obligated in chinuch? If we're saying a katan at a certain age is obligated.
Slowly. The mitzvah of chinuch is to train someone for something that that person will do upon reaching majority age.
Right.
Right. So if women, we know women are exempt from sukkah, so therefore, there's no mitzvah to mechanech a girl to sit in a sukkah, because when she's older, she won't have to. So why are you training her at a younger age?
Okay.
But let's go slowly. What we are saying in our Gemara so far is that there's an age of chinuch by sukkah, which is very low. The age of chinuch by all other mitzvahs depends on the mitzvah. Each mitzvah has its own age. But we pointed out that Rashi seems to have an objective, Rashi and Erechin has an objective note of what chinuch is. And Rashi says chinuch is always nine or ten. That's Yigeo chinuch. Tanya.
Yeah, so... I've just been in Bava Kamma, and we've been talking about boshes and whether a katan can experience boshes. So I've been kind of concentrating on the katan's experience to understand. So I'm wondering if, you know, you can train an animal to do tricks, but in terms of comprehension, maybe in terms of the brain's development, something happens at 9 or 10 that has to do with understanding what's going on.
So I think that's an excellent point. And that's what I wanted to get to. In other words, I gave you on the Makoros, I asked you to look at Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos. So Talmidei Rabbeinu in Brachos has the following expression. He says there's a difference between lahargilo the mitzvos and chinuch. Right? So lahargilo b'mitzvos means to get accustomed to doing mitzvos. And then there is chinuch. The difference between lahargilo b'mitzvos and chinuch probably is, again, I'm reading a teeny bit into Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, but it seems that what they're getting at is as follows. Lahargilo b'mitzvos is, you know, getting them accustomed to it. Do stuff by rote. Right, I wake up in the morning, one-year-old kid, wash nagel vaser, right? You get them by rote. Does the kid understand anything? Absolutely not. But there's a sense of acculturation, right? A sense of just performance, and that will last with the kid for a very long time, we hope. That's lahargilo b'mitzvos. That's what I understand is the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, what that might mean is that Rashi is giving us a measurement of 9 and 10. That age probably is something along the lines of, at what point does a kid have a certain intellectual maturity to be able to understand stuff? Meaning, right, that the earlier zman of chinuch, right, the earlier times, a kid knows how to shake a lulav. So daddy says, right, shake, 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 right? That's too early to really understand it. That's just doing actions by rote. Right? Certainly, when you sit in a sukkah at this age, okay, sukkah, maybe we'll bracket out because you're not doing anything. But most of these mitzvos that we discuss, to where it sits us, right? So, katan hayodeya lahis atev, right? Torah. The Torah of a kid knows how to speak, you say Torah siyabalanu Moshe, that's way before there's any understanding. But that is, it is training for rote performance. Now, rote performance is not usually something that we look positively on. But at the same time, rote performance is great when I'm trying to arrive at some acculturation. I want to acculturate you into what from Judaism is. So at a very young age, you don't have any intellectual capacity yet. Lahargilo b'mitzvos. So I think the way Rashi is saying it is not necessarily arguing on what Tosfos is saying. Tosfos is saying that every mitzvah has its own age of chinuch. Rashi says 9 and 10. They're not arguing. Because they're talking about two different types of chinuch. Right, this is our homophone. Right, the word chinuch means lahargilo b'mitzvos, right, acculturation, and the word chinuch means specific performance, not in the legal sense, the specific performance of a mitzvah, right, or performance with understanding. I'll say it like that. There is acculturation at a very young age. Shake the lulav if you don't understand anything, and then there's chinuch. Once the kid is 9 or so, that's when Rashi says the ordinarily understood chinuch, that's when it sets in. Okay, so far so good? Hi, Zoe.
Hi, Rabbi Schwartz, how are you?
Baruch Hashem.
Great. How would this work in a situation if you had a child that you thought would never be obligated in mitzvot? A child right. Who fit into a category that you didn't think would be obligated in mitzvot.
So I think in that case, the chinuch in the sense of, in other words, the child, let's say, is limited. You know, the child will never really be chayiv in mitzvot, but probably the acculturation still applies. Right, so you shake a lulav like a three-year-old shakes a lulav. You know how to shake it because that's part of the process of being frum. But in terms of the chinuch of Talmud Torah type chinuch, the chinuch to really understand things, right, about the specific mitzvah. Remember, the chinuch min ha-Torah, right, we have to, like, there are different levels over here. The chinuch that's a mitzvah to oraisa is ba'ofen klali, ba'asof stakal mishpat. It could be that you can fulfill a mitzvah to oraisa of chinuch with a child who's limited. You train the child to be moral, ethical, good person. Lahargilo b'mitzvos, this earlier age chinuch, just acculturation, obviously also can apply. But that chinuch which Rashi sets at the age of 9 or 10, that chinuch which is, because I understand, now I could really get the details of this mitzvah well, that probably does not apply to someone who will never mature intellectually. That's what I'd assume. Now, just to go a step further, who has the mitzvah of chinuch? Right? So I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what are you talking about? So let me sharpen the question. When a child is being michunach, do I say that that child is chayiv in mitzvahs on the level of drabbanan? Or do I say that the mitzvah is a parent's mitzvah and the child has zero chiyuv at all? Does chinuch make the child chayiv in mitzvahs midrabanan or not? So let me tell you a Rashi in Brachos and Daf Mem Ches. Okay, the Gemara in Brachos tells us about Shimon ben Shetach, and he goes to King Yanai for a meal, and they ask him to bench. And even though Shimon ben Shetach only ate a kezayis, he's still benched. So the question that Rashi asks is, one second, eating a kezayis of bread is only chayiv in benching midrabanan. So how could Shimon ben Shetach bench for Yanai, who presumably ate like a king eats, ate kedei sevia, is chayiv in benching min ha-Torah? So how could Shimon ben Shetach, who's chayiv midrabanan, be motzi Yanai? So Rashi says, well, Shimon ben Shetach could do that because on the level of drabanan, Shimon ben Shetach is chayiv. He ate a kezayis of bread, so he's chayiv to bench midrabanan, and the drabanan can be motzi a deraisim. That's Rashi's comment. Wild idea. But then Rashi asks, one second. So then how come a katan can't be motzi a gadol in, let's say, Mikra Megillah? Right? Mishnayis in Megillah. If you're saying that a drabanan can be motzi a deraisa, how come a katan can't be motzi a gadol? Women being motzi also in terms of which mitzvah?
Well, just anywhere we have a derabanan and the men that were being motzi would have a deraisa obligation.
So, yeah, but you see, the issue with women is a little more complicated because it's not deraisa versus derabanan as much as it's optional versus obligated, right? Sometimes we use those terms interchangeably, but they're really very different, right? Women don't have a chiyuv. It's optional for them. But when they do it, they get points in the level of deraisa. I don't think it's a drabanan chiyuv.
I just remember like a whole conversation about if women don't say vayechulu, then their obligation for kiddush is deraisa, and the man said vayechulu at shul, and he's drabanan, but he's yotzing her deraisa. So really, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, so there's a whole discussion of Kibega and the Beis Meir about if a man goes to shul Friday night, and they say Vayechulu, so he's Mekayim Kiddush on the level of Deraisa. So how? So that means he's only Chayiv in Kiddush Al Hayayin, which is Drabonon. So when he gets home, how can he be Motzi his wife, who's Chayiv in Kiddush on the level of Deraisa? Right? That's the question. And there's a whole discussion. Maybe there's a principle of Arvus, maybe not. According to Rashi, on the fundamental level. Again, I'm not saying that we agree with Rashi, but Rashi says on the fundamental level, a drabonon can be motzia d'oraisa. And Rashi is bothered by the kasha. If that's the case, how come a katan can't be motzi, let's say, in Mikra Megillah? Or katan can't be motzi in anything? So Rashi answers, a katan is different than Shimon ben Shetach because a katan is not chayiv in mitzvahs, even midrabanan. Rashi's lashon is, da'ale da'avuha rami l'chinuche. That the chinuch is on the father. Daddy has a mitzvah of chinuch. Katan is a chetza. He is the lulav who is being shaken. Right? Okay, tell that to your kids. Right? The katan is not chayiv. That's what Rashi says. Now, this is already an interesting idea that we're going to pause and hold it for a second. But Rashi is telling me that the mitzvah of chinuch is the mitzvah of chinuch is daddy's mitzvah, not the katan's mitzvah. The katan is not mechuyev on the level of derabbanan. Zoe,
we do have a case in mitzvah that for Megillah where a katan says, reads the Megillah and was in front of Rabbi Yehuda, I think, and he was the age of chinuch, wasn't he?
So that's a machlokes hatanoim. There, Megillah Daf Yud Tes, Rabbi Yehuda Lachacham, where the katan can be motzi gadol. On the opinion that katan cannot be motzi gadol, that's when we have our conversation now, right? Yes. And one of the challenges over here is that there are opinions about everything. We'll say it like that. Now, I don't know if Rashi is saying this. And I have no reason to really assume that Rashi is saying this. But in broad strokes, I think what we could do is plug in our distinction between lahargilo b'mitzvos versus the katan who is already intellectually mature enough to actually understand. And we could say that at a very young age, when the katan is just shaking the lulav, doesn't understand anything, so at that time, the katan has zero chiyuv on his own. That's only daddy's chiyuv. But once the kid is, let's say, age 9, or the like, so then one could make a case that then the kid is chayiv on the level of drabanan based on chinuch. Because at that point, the child already is mature enough to understand. The child is not just a lulav that is being shooken, right? That is we could argue there's a real chi of midrabanan on the katan. I think that's what we could say. So far, so good. Now, this concept, whether the chiyuv of chinuch is on the katan or the chiyuv of chinuch is on the parent, is something to hold on to. Get back to it in a minute. Does this relate to your bar mitzvah and Sfiras HaOmer story? In other words, the question of whether when you become bar mitzvah and Sfiras HaOmer, you count.
You were telling us. I thought it was your own bar mitzvah.
My own bar mitzvah fell out during Sfira. I think lots of people, probably, what's here is 50 days during the year. So it's like lots of kids have their bar mitzvah during Sfira.
But beginning the Sfira with a derabanan and then switching.
Right. So then can you continue? So that might be like
adding that also.
Right? If the mitzvah of chinuch is not your mitzvah at all, so then presumably you should not be able to continue to count with a bracha. But if it is your mitzvah, I think that's a reasonable way of putting it together. Although, according to the analysis we just gave, that once the kid is intellectually pretty mature, so then it stands to reason that the kid himself is going to be chayiv, so then you should be able to continue to count with a bracha. Right? We spoke about this in the context of Rabbi Yosef Engel had a comment on this point that Rashi just mentioned earlier, that points to Rabbi Eliezer, Katan who becomes a Gadol during Sukkot, right, is Chayiv in the Sukkah, etc. That's when we addressed it not that long ago. Oh. Hello, Dr. Lang.
I'm sorry, I have one more. I've been around Canadians. I'm apologizing more than normal. It's coming back. What if you become nine? Like if you hold by Rashi's understanding that Chinuch happens at nine, what happens if you turn nine during Sukkot?
So again, on some level, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because you're supposed to be in the Sukkah beforehand as acculturation, right? And then once you reach a certain point of intellectual maturity, again, I don't think it's nine necessarily. It's like nine or 10.
Yeah. But it seems like there needs to be
a... When the kid is somewhat mature. I don't know if there's ever like a threshold. Okay, you are not mature. Now you are mature. It doesn't work like that. It's not like a on-off switch. It doesn't like go like that.
Right. But just generally in Halakha, we like to put those kinds of on-off switches. We like to make those kinds of distinctions. So it's interesting that this one's fuzzier.
I think this is much fuzzier. Again, and I'm also not convinced that Rashi really says this, right? When Rashi gives a categorical definition of chinuch being 9 or 10, I don't know that I'm right, that what Rashi is saying is that at that point, the katan himself becomes a mechuyev mitrabban. I don't know that's correct. I'd have to plug a lot of things in. But I think it is possible. And I'll say another... Let's go on in the Gemara. Let's try to get to the Mishnah, and then we'll talk about... Then we'll come back to this whole conversation. Says the Gemara, it's like four lines before the Mishnah. Maisa v'yolda kaloso shor shamai hazokin, right? Once upon a time, Shammai's daughter-in-law gave birth and Shammai cracked through the ceiling and made it that the baby would be in the sukkah. So you're going to ask, Maisa listar, isn't this story contradicting what we said earlier? Because we just said that a katan who does not need mommy is chayiv in sukkah. So let's say a katan does not need mommy, a kid who could wipe himself. What, 2 years old? 2.5 years old? 2.5 is still much older. Right? Dr. Tan is like trying to remember which age. It's not a pleasant period of life. We try to forget a lot of this.
You go by preschool rules, like by 3, you're supposed to be body trained.
Yeah, the schools will not let kids in if they're not potty trained. At least that used to be the rule in Breuer's in ancient history when our sons were in Breuer's like 20 years ago. Scary thought. But let's say it's age 2, 2.5, 3, something like that. You know, different kids have, you know, it's a milestone. But Katan Shein Tzach Limo, let's say it's 2.5 or 2. Shammai HaZokein is putting a baby, a newborn, in the sukkah. So Yuma asks, my solicitor, doesn't this story contradict what we just said before? So Yuma answers, Chasuri Machzer V'Hachik Tani. Right, there's like a missing line in the Mishnah. And the Pshat really is, V'Shammai Machmir. The missing line says that Shammai is actually Machmir, meaning that Shammai holds that even at a younger age, there is a chiyuv. Umaisanami, v'yod ha-kaloso, sh'shammai azok, ha-pichas ha-esama azeva, v'sikei ha-amita v'shol katan. And we have a story that once upon a time, Shammai's daughter-in-law gave birth, and he opened up the ceiling for the katan, etc. Right? So what the Mishnah is saying, as interpreted by the Gemara, is that that Shammai disagrees. Right, we're saying that the chiyuv of chinuch is only when the kid does not need mommy, when the kid is somewhat independent. Shammai says the mitzvah of chinuch for sukkah is earlier than that. Now, what exactly is this machlokes between Shammai and the Chachamim? Why do you think Shammai says that the mitzvah of chinuch is so much earlier than according to the Chachamim. Why the Chachamim disagree with Shammai, etc. What do we think the point of dispute is? Ms. Gutman.
Maybe it's a Messias thing where he thinks that the Freudian subconscious happens as a baby and somehow it really affects you.
So, I mean, that's actually, there is something to be said about. In other words, what we were speaking about before in terms of acculturation. So if you remember by the mitzvah of Hakel, the Torah says, Hakel asam ha-nashim va-nashim va-hataf. Right? So the Gemara says, anoshim bo nilmo, noshim bo l'shmoa, taflon boim kidei, v'ahav yischar, v'mivyehim. Right, so Rashi al Torah says that the reason why the kids come is that the parents get schar. But the other midrashim say that the reason why the kids come is because just being in a place of kedusha itself will impact on you later on. Right, and they have all these stories about the little kids who were brought in their bassinets into the base medrash to absorb the words of Torah. And yeah, there's a. So that could be the pshat, right? Meaning that Shammai perhaps holds that this idea of acculturation is more, I don't know if spiritual is the right word, but we want you to be exposed, right? Rabbi's going to say acculturation, right? But it's a different sort of acculturation. Like what we were talking about acculturation before, I'm talking about a kid who does the motions of shaking. Over here, you're not doing any motion. You're just there. You're just being held by mommy at the hakel ceremony. But we assume that through osmosis, you gain some kedusha or the like, just by being there. So maybe Shammai holds the same thing by sukkah. And that would be along the lines, I'll get to you in 1 second, Tamar, that'd be along the lines of what we said before, that by sukkah, precisely because it's a mitzvah that you don't have to do anything, so Shammai says, just have it done, right? Because being there is good for you spiritually. Tamar, you had a comment?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to the last part you said, which was that, like, if you're taking this to the extremes, right, so leaving aside Rashi's 9-10, if you say that you do mitzvahs at whatever age you're ready for them, and the sukkah is only being present and being there, then you're technically able to do it as a newborn.
Exactly. So, in other words, one could argue that what Shammai is basically saying is that sukkah, it's not just that the age of sukkah is earlier than everything else, it's that there is no age at all, because the mitzvah is just being there. Right? That the Chachamim say that you need some sort of awareness. Again, I'm not a baby psychologist, but my guess is that a little baby has no idea of any difference between whether the kid's in the bassinet or at a game in City Field. Right? The kid doesn't see any difference. But that is certainly is possible. Alternatively, right, the machlokas between Shammai and the Tanakhama might relate as follows. If the mitzvah of chinuch is on the katan, is on the kid, so then I could say that there is a certain age that we can't even discuss any chiyuv of chinuch at all. Like you're too young, there can't be anything. No? But if the mitzvah of chinuch is that a parent has the chiyuv, not that the child becomes mechuyav, so then once I'm talking about the parent has a chiyuv, so then Shammai might say, listen, it's daddy, it's my chiyuv, so I'm going to put the kid there. The fact that the kid doesn't have any understanding, anything, it doesn't matter, it's my chiyuv. One could argue that part of the discussion between Shammai and the Chachamim is that if the mitzvah of chinuch is purely on the parent, that it's not that the mitzvah of chinuch is even for the parent to try to get the kid to do something. The mitzvah of chinuch is daddy has an obligation. So the kid is a pure chafetz shel mitzvah, and the kid can be a chafetz shel mitzvah even at the tiniest, youngest age. I think that's another. It's another way of saying this.
One way that I was thinking about this was that a katan is exempt from sukkah when he's telling his mom, because his mom is exempt from sukkah, so she won't be in the sukkah. So like he, the same way that like he isn't capable of picking up, like he's only chayav in lulav when he's capable of picking up lulav, he's only chayav in sukkah when he's capable of like being there without his mom. So I was thinking about it, like if the mother was in the sukkah, would the katan then be chayav in the sukkah?
Yeah. I mean, because in other words, I think the Ritvos makes your point or something, that the katan is considered like an accessory of mami, right? So mami is exempt from sukkah, so the katan is exempt from sukkah. But if the kid goes where mami goes. So if mami's in the sukkah, the kid should be in the sukkah. What Shammai is saying is that even though mami is not in the sukkah, but daddy has a chiyuv of chino, it's a little bit funny. It's like, almost like pulling a baby away from mom, because you're my chafetz shel mitzvah. It doesn't sound that nice anymore, no? But that's one possibility within the sugya, yeah. Now, let's just do one more point. There are two girsaos in the Gemara. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Rachel.
Well, I guess it probably goes back to the point you were talking about woman before, but does mommy have a chiyuv of chinuch? We're saying that it's so, on daddy, but...
Yeah, so again, so this is a sugya that on Dav Gimel Amid Aleph Beis Amid Beis, you got the impression from the Gemara that Mr. Halini Amalka, that she has a chiyuv of chinuch on her children. And the Mefarshim ask if the mitzvah of chinuch is based on like a mitzvah of Talmud Torah of some sort, so then women should not have the chiyuv. If you go back to our shiurim from Beis on Beis Gimel Amud Aleph, so then you'll remember.
Okay, thank you.
It goes back a while. Actually, I'll come back to that point in 1 minute. Within our Gemara, the Gemara asks Akasha, Maisa Listar, so the Gemara answers, Chasuri Mechsera, and the story is Shammai Machmir. That's where we have the Girsa. There was another Girsa in the Gemara, that Shammai Machmir al Atzmo. Right? Machmir al Atzmo means that I adopt my own personal stringency. Shammai Machmir means that as a matter of halacha, Shammai was more Machmir. The Ritva writes that you cannot have the Girsa Machmir al Atzmo, that Shammai had a personal stringency, because if you have the Girsa of personal stringency, you can't be personally stringent, you can't have a chumra on this type of situation, says the Ritva, because this is someone who's Patur min Davar Mibaseihu Nikra Hedyot. You're really exempt, right? The kid is exempt. The father has no obligation to put the baby in the sukkah. If it's machmir al atzmo, what do you mean that the Shammai is doing it? Shammai, you know, you're not allowed to decide to do that. You're exempt from something. Potter min davar voseu nikra hedyot. You can't do that. Rather, says the Ritva, the correct text is Shammai machmir. That is a matter of halacha, as a matter of conviction, Shammai said the parent is chai. Not that it was personal stringency, but it was absolute conviction. That's what the Ritva says, because there would be personal stringency. Personal stringency does not make sense in this type of case. It would be that you should be potter. Okay. So far, so good, Chavra? Okay, so I just want to mention one other thing, which is kind of a sad thing for me on some level. We've been giving the shiur for around 3 years. And I love it, but it's also beginning to take a toll. And what I think we will do is try to finish the second perek and then call it quits. I don't know if this will mean one shiur, two shiurim. Also, it's the summertime, so like I might miss a Thursday night and stuff. But like at some point, probably within the next 3 weeks, we will have our last shiur. It's not about you guys. I love giving this year. I really feel like I'm gaining a lot about it, a lot out of it. Honestly, I gain out of it also in the sense of at home at night, I probably would not learn any Torah, but because I know I have to give a shiur, I actually end up learning Torah, which is very good. But my learning Torah also means, especially as the school year begins, that, you know, homework time with the kids gets a little more frazzled, and it's getting harder. So I think what we will have to do is complete the second perek and then hang up the cleats. That's, yeah. So you'll send the word to everybody, I guess. And next week we'll continue going weiter. We have like another roughly daf of Gemara. We have Kaf Tesam and Aleph, a little bit of Kaf Tesam and Beis, and the rest of Kaf Tesam and Beis. So my guess is it's two shiurim, maybe three more shiurim until we're done, but I think we'll finish the second perek and then hang up the cleats. So when I said, like, remember the shiurim on daf Beis and, like, we'll come back to it, that's what I meant. Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Excellent, Chevra. Okay. Have a good Shabbos, and we will continue to be in touch.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Take care.